My dear brothers, brother priest and deacon, sisters and brothers in Christ. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Trinity, which is a doctrinal feast of the church. On most Sundays, we have scripture readings that set the theme. Today and next Sunday, the Feast of Corpus Christi, are occasions when there is a theme and the church looks for scripture readings to help explain the doctrine of the church. And in order for us to understand this feast, I need to speak, first of all, about the concept of revelation. Not everything that we believe as Christians has been revealed to us. Some of the things we believe we can discover through the use of our reason, our human reason. For example, the Ten Commandments, for the most part, I think all of them really make sense naturally. It's not good to kill our neighbors. It's not good to steal. We can arrive at those conclusions without God intervening and telling us something. The fact that we have a creator, that the world is a gift from God, is pretty obvious to those who are open to that fact. We just look at the world around us and it spontaneously leads us to awe and amazement and belief in a creator. So we can arrive at even our understanding of God as creator through our natural resources, using our minds and in discussion with one another. But there are some things in the faith of Christians which depend on revelation. And what revelation means is that God intervenes to tell us something that we wouldn't know without his help. A Protestant preacher gave a great definition of revelation that I read a short while ago, and it goes this way. Revelation does not come from us thinking about God, but from God thinking about us. It's interesting, isn't it, that revelation is not the result of our thinking about God, but is a result of God caring, thinking about each one of us. And that's truly extraordinary in itself. That's a revelation in itself that God would love us. The notion of the Trinity is very, very important because we believe that God has told us what he's like on the inside out. We human beings share with others the secrets of our life and what we're about with our friends. So if God is going to tell us about himself, it must mean that he wants a relationship with us that's based on friendship. And we believe that to be true. You know, God cares for each one of us here individually and uniquely. In some sense, God is fascinated with you, each one of us individually. That's why we exist. And that's why God reveals to us his inner life, which we celebrate on this feast of the Holy Trinity. The Catechism of the Catholic Church put the mystery of the Holy Trinity this way. By sending his only Son and the Spirit of love in the fullness of time, God has revealed his innermost secret. God himself is an eternal exchange of love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this is really interesting, he has destined us to share in that exchange. Now, God is love in the very nature of God, a community of love. The Father loving the Son, and the Son loving the Father, and the Father and the Son loving the Holy Spirit. This exchange of love is what God is about. And God has made us human beings in his image and likeness. which means that God has made us to love and to be in a community of love, first of all with God himself, but then also in our relationships with one another. That's where the world comes from. God created what was not God, our universe, our cosmos, in order to give himself away to what was not God, in other words, to love us. Now, nobody else believes this except Christians. Muslims don't believe this. They don't believe that we're worthy of God's love. We're actually not worthy of God's love, but God has made us worthy of his love. God loves us anyway. So at the heart of what we believe as Christians is the mystery of the Holy Trinity. One God, three divine persons. Now, I wonder if you can explain the mystery of the Trinity to your family or to your non-Christian friends or even to one another. You know, we believe that God is one, and yet at the same time, God is three distinct persons, which means that the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not the Father or the Son. But there is only one God. The Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. But they are one in the love that they have for one another. The love is so intense that they are one. Because you can't love unless there's another person to love, right? So in the very heart of God are three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe that in the course of history, the second person of the Trinity, the Son, became a man. And his name is Jesus of Nazareth. The Father didn't become a man, and the Holy Spirit didn't become a man. The second person of the Trinity became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. And that man is at the same time God, because the second person of the Holy Trinity is God. Did God die on the cross? Yes, because Jesus is God. Did the Father die on the cross? No, because the Father is not the Son. I mean, this is a mystery, right? It's impossible for us to really understand it fully. But there's a lot of mysteries in life. You know, just look at your wife. You know, or your husband even. I guess men are also mysteries as well as women. You know, we can understand someone and love them very much, but we don't understand them fully. If that's true about our human relationships, it's extraordinarily true about our relationship with God. Today's scripture readings help us to understand this mystery. Our first reading is from the Old Testament. It's from the book of Proverbs. And scripture scholars who are Christians tell us that in this reading, we find some hints, what they use the word prefiguration, sometimes footprints, sometimes vestiges, they use different words, of the reality of the Trinity without it being clear. Look at this reading. Wisdom is personified, and wisdom says, "From of old I was poured forth at the first, before the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When the Lord established the heavens, I was there. Then was I beside him as his craftsman, and I was his delight day by day." So right away from the creation of the world described in the book of Proverbs, we see hints about the mystery of the Trinity. But the Old Testament isn't clear. You know, the Jewish people were committed to monotheism. There was only one God, and all the other so-called gods were false gods. But this mystery of God being one and three at the same time was not given to them as a gift. It's been given to us as a gift from God, who has revealed his inner life to us. An interesting question that we should ask ourselves this may sound a little scandalous, so I hope you'll take your time to think this through. Would St. Peter have known what we were talking about if I asked him to explain the mystery of the Trinity? Or would he have said, what do you mean, Trinity? You know, the doctrines of the church are the result of disagreements in the church and the church trying to come to understand what the church has always believed. And the doctrine of the Trinity as we have it today, as I've tried to explain it to you this evening, is a result of a lot of dialogues back and forth in the history of the church, which resulted in the first councils of the church. Because the church has always wanted to understand clearly what she believes. Now, did St. Peter believe that God was one? Yes. Did St. Peter believe that God was Father? Yes. That God was Son? That Jesus was God? Yes. That the Holy Spirit was a gift from God and was God? Yes. But he didn't use that word Trinity. We don't find it anywhere in the Bible. But we have here in the second reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, Trinitarian language that the church went on to understand and explain more clearly. St. Paul says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Father and the Son. He says, the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And you find that language throughout the scriptures. Jesus, in the final commissioning to his apostles before his ascension into heaven, says that he sends us forth to all nations, and we are to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So the language of the Trinity is found in Scripture, but has been clarified so that we can all understand it as best we can in the course of history and time. Our third reading is from the Gospel of St. John. Blessed Pope John Paul II, when speaking of the Holy Spirit, referred to the Holy Spirit as the living memory of the church. And what he meant by that is contained in this reading. The Holy Spirit is the memory of the church that helps us to understand all that Jesus teaches us. Listen to what the Gospel of St. John says. Jesus said to his disciples, he's speaking to you and me, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit is the living memory of the church, to teach us everything that Jesus wants us to know and has led the church to the understanding of God as one and at the same time three. God is a blessed Holy Trinity. Now, what does this all mean for us practically? Because we always ask that questions as Americans and as disciples. What does this mean? Well, the first thing it means is that God loves us, that he's revealed himself to us, and he wants us to know what he's like. And if that was all that meant, that would be enough, wouldn't it? Because it's a wonderful thing that God would want to share with us what he's like, that he cares enough for us creatures to do that. But it also teaches us the building blocks of creation. The building block of creation is love and communion. You know, God creates in order to communicate. And by communicate, I don't just mean say words, but to give himself away. And then God has made us, as I said earlier, in his own image and likeness. And so the meaning of our human life is also communion, to be in a relationship with God and also to be in relationship with one another in human community. The natural form of that for most of you, most of us, is our family, which is a Trinitarian model. Father, Son, and children. You know, in a community of what? Of self-giving and love. It's the most natural symbol in all of creation of the Holy Trinity. And that's why we think marriage, as understood traditionally through the centuries, about a relationship of man and woman for the sake of children, is a sacred notion that you and I can't change, no matter what the government does about changing laws. God has made man for woman and woman for man for the sake of children, which reflects the communion of the Holy Trinity. But also, Christian morality is all about communion. It's about, we're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, all our soul, and all our strength, and what? To love our neighbor as ourselves, which is communion. So you see, it's the Trinity is a very practical mystery. It's what everything's based on. That's why we begin all our prayers in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's essential part of the Catholic life and Catholic understanding. And yet we're not able to explain this to our children and to the world around us. So I hope that my reflections will help you to be able to do that for your own growth as Christians, but also in order for us to be true evangelists, sharers of the good news of Jesus Christ with others. We have to begin with the Trinity. It's all about two things. It's about worship, and it's about communion. Worship of God, which we do in our celebration today, communion with God in the communion of the Mass, and communion with one another. What a wonderful feast this is. We celebrate the essence of who we are, and we thank the Lord for revealing Himself to us in love.